You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. Well, one of the things we've been bullish about is real estate. One of the reasons why, even though real estate is a market like any others, like cryptos, believe it or not, it can go up and it can go down. Over time, though, there is a housing shortage, demographic trends, a lot of reasons. Now, that doesn't mean that you should be buying real estate in downtown Detroit. I personally wouldn't be, but hey, other parts of Florida, Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina, those markets are on fire. Well, you might be thinking that you don't have enough money to do this, that it's too hard, it's too difficult. Well, you need to look at the world of wholesaling, and the person you're about to hear from is an expert. Grace Mills, you have coached over 300 people and showed them the way to making profits in the wholesale real estate. And we are thrilled to have you on the show. So you mentioned pre-call that you were busy racking up student loan debt, and I guess you weren't really thrilled with the direction that your career was going to take. So you wound up getting into wholesaling. What was the event that led you here?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on, and hello out there to your actual audience. But yeah, unfortunately, my story is not unique with the racking up debt and sitting in school going, is this going to be worth it? I kind of looked at what my projected entry level salaries would have been, was like somewhere around like 45,000 or so. And I'd already racked up like almost 16,000 less than 2 years in student loan debt. And I was like, that math makes no sense. It's like, this doesn't make any sense on top of, you know, school kind of upping the cost and not actually offering any additional grants or any additional scholarships. I'd always had an interest in real estate, and it was also really difficult trying to find a job while in school. So I worked a lot of odd jobs. And one of the odd jobs being just doing random work for anyone in the real estate industry, called leads as a prospecting assistant, managed their leads, cleaned up their databases, whatever I could do to kind of, kind of get my feet wet, if you will, in the industry. So I didn't have any experience at the time. I'm a broke college kid, you know?
Yeah, sure, I know. You got to start somewhere though, right? You have to start somewhere.
Absolutely. So that's roughly where I got my start, is kind of doing some odd jobs before I actually ended up working full time for an actual real estate investment company whose focus was, wholesale. And, you know, the other half of the company at the time was also a retail brokerage. So I got to play in both lanes, mostly, though, spending the 7 or 8 years as the marketing director, really generating motivated leads, or just, you know, leads in general for the actual wholesaling side of the company. So I'd probably say the most major piece there was looking at all the debt I was accumulating and going, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, well, debt is a four-letter word. We could never forget that and can never emphasize it enough. So, all right. So you did, I assume you did a number of wholesale real estate deals yourself before becoming coach?
You know what? I actually worked as a prospecting assistant, had the opportunity to transition into what we call acquisitions, which means you actually getting the deals. I actually did not find my fun there. Like, that's not my high. I actually like being in a position to make other people money as the marketing director. And so that is literally what I've, you know, my lane and my my expertise is purely in helping people figure out the marketing that they need to continue making their actual steady deals. It's always something I can jump back into. I've got all the expertise there. Just was never something that I thought was fun. I don't know. Believe it or not.
I understand. Totally understand what you're saying. So if I want to get started in wholesale real estate, what are the three things I need to do before I do anything?
Absolutely. I would take a second to consider what your end goal is. I like to believe in kind of starting backwards. Think about an end goal. And then, you know, let's say you're going, hey, I've got, $20,000 in debt. And my end goal is to make enough money to get rid of that debt. Okay, and then let's work backwards. And then secondly, you want to start to consider where you would want to do wholesaling at. There's two different ways. You can literally do real estate in the market that you're in. And then there is the kind of virtual side where you can do wholesale deals in a market that you're not actually physically in, virtually wholesaling. Right. And then you start to consider what is it exactly that you have available to you right now in resources, right? I will get a measurement of your understanding so far of what end of that. Because that's a beautiful thing about real estate and even the beautiful thing about wholesaling is that there are many creative ways to go about it. You can actually wholesale the deal yourself. You could always, you could jump in and buy it at wholesale to fix and flip because wholesaling is just like a concept, right? Like I teach my students to go in and apply wholesaling as a way of getting discounted properties. And then they can do what they want with it, either keep it for their own rental portfolios, fix and flip it, then sell it, or actually just wholesale the deal straight off or partner maybe with an actual agent and put it on the MLS as well, you know, kind of like wholetailing it, as people call it. So there's so many different avenues for you to take. I would definitely start there. Maybe think about your end goal, what you're looking to achieve. Take a second to consider what resources that you do have available and what your understanding is. And then maybe go, hey, hold on, self. Maybe I am a little bit more interested on the, fix and flip in. Or at this particular point, I literally just want to jump into wholesaling and then just making money on the assignment. Sure. Of the contract, just as a middleman until I can learn it, more about the industry and then grow from there.
Gotcha. All right. Makes complete sense. And so starting out, what do I do? Besides calling you, getting your info, how much money do I need to do this?
Absolutely. When you're jumping into wholesaling for the first time, there's a couple of different things that you can do. Of course, there are the, kind of driving for dollars, if you will, or door knocking to get deals. Then there's cold calling as an actual method, list building, doing things like direct mail, sending cards out. I would tell you, in my experience, the best marketing channel for producing those actual leads was an inbound strategy. There are perfect, people out here who are highly capable and okay with contacting you to say, hey, I have a problem. I'd like for you to solve it. Right. And yeah, instead of, of course, we still have those marketing channels out there that are a little bit more in terms of cold outreach. Well, it's definitely still working. It will give you a great understanding of the basics of the business. But I would definitely say inbound marketing channels work just as well.
Yeah, well, it's always better to have people calling you for business than you calling them, because the motivation then is obvious. They're motivated to contact you or motivated enough to contact you. So they're probably more motivated to do business with you. Whereas when you knock on doors or cold call, a lot more effort is involved to get this deal done and just to show them that you can do it, all these things. So how do you get people to call you for this?
Don't just survive. Thrive, the Financial Survival Network.
Fury Gold Mines is a Canada-focused exploration and development company committed to aggressively growing its scalable high-grade gold assets with major drill campaigns planned across its 3.5 million ounce portfolio. Fury is led by a management team of proven explorers and developers with a track record of success in advancing and financing project development. Fury Gold Mines is well positioned to create value for investors with low-risk development growth and the potential for a new major discovery. Fury Gold Mines trades on the TSX and NYSE American under the ticker FURY. To learn more, go to furygoldmines.com. That's furygoldmines.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Absolutely. So my favorite, and I'm a little biased. I was a marketing director and I tested and tinkered with everything under the sun, believe me. Ringless voicemail, direct mail, cold calling, anything under the sun, you know, we touched in terms of just exploring to generate leads. But I would tell you, and what I actually coach now is actually utilizing a marketing channel that's always been out there, but heavily underutilized, especially by those in the real estate industry. And that's actually radio. Radio. And a lot of people are like,
radio. Who would think radio? Like,
right?
Radio people are like, so 1940s or 30s, even.
Yeah, you know? It seems like it's such an old school tactic, but it exists because it still works. When you think about traditional mediums or traditional, you know, media, it's like, you know, like print, right? Like print newspaper. Print newspaper was around forever, and you know that was what a lot of people were using. And then it died off because there was no way to actually paper it. Radio marketing is an old, tested, tried and traditional medium, but it didn't die when print newspapers died because it still actually works. Wow. You can turn on your radio now and you're going to hear advertisers from all sorts of, you know, industries, of course, but heavily underutilized by those on the real estate side, because it's not a thought. You're thinking you have to jump in and do what everybody else is doing. Everyone's cold calling and everyone's doing direct mail. So that becomes people's not natural assumption of what they need to do to start marketing, but not if you want to be different and actually stand out. That is where you have to go. I'll go and use what everyone's not really thinking about using, and you're still going to reach homeowners.
All right. I got another one for you then. What about direct mail? Because I have a family who are in direct mail and in digital marketing, they say that direct mail now has really caught on because the response rates, because hardly anybody's sending the stuff out nowadays, the response rates are way, way higher than they ever were when everyone was direct mailing.
See, that's like a catch 22, especially on the wholesaling side or just real estate in general. I would say that is actually still slightly saturated, still very much that on this side, because there's a very low entry to do so. Yeah. And it's so cheap that it ends up flooding a market. And the problem there is that a lot of wholesalers or real estate and, you know, real estate investors all target the same markets with the same marketing methods. And so they all end up overkilling or, on the direct mail side, because it's cheap to do and something quick in their minds.
Mm-hmm. But the response rates are higher. But I guess if that's what your competition's doing, you don't want to be doing it, huh?
Absolutely not. That ends up muddying it. And after a while, think about the actual seller. Well, now I'm sitting here with like 8 direct mail cards of everyone kind of saying the same message. That's the other thing. Everyone uses the same messaging, the same call to actions. There's nothing unique about it in that particular case. So. And so your responses that you get, and then you're also trying to shift through their motivation once you actually do get responses. So yeah, the response can go up because now I have this card that says, hey, call me, you know, if you want to sell your home. And then you get the, hey, so do you want to give me $1 million on a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom home with a giant crack through the wall.
That's funny. That's really funny.
You know,
I get what you're saying. So, all right. Is there anything else besides radio that you're a big advocate of doing in terms of this?
I would definitely, I would definitely say that, especially if you're starting out, do not think that, you don't have to consider really being in business to solve a problem. Outside of the marketing piece, I think a big issue with, with the people that are trying to jump in and set up, an actual real estate business, especially for the first time, are kind of misunderstanding where they need to be. If you're always in business to solve a problem, you'll always be in business.
All right.
And that means taking an opportunity to really consider what is it that's affecting sellers in terms of like their pain points. How is their market contributing to creating very sticky scenarios for them? So I would I'm a huge advocate for the data piece and people actually taking a second to go, hey, wait, is this market actually going to be worth it? Right. Like, you know, we talked a little bit earlier. There are some markets that are kind of like on steroids right now. Phoenix, Tampa, Miami, a couple places in the Carolinas, definitely Texas, Austin, DFW. Right. Of course. So you want to always make sure then that you're considering what else is contributing to making that person want to go, hey, now, you know what, right now? Yeah, absolutely. I want to sell my property, because you're paying attention to the market and the pain points that are the market's actually contributing to that person's individual life. And then going, here's how I know I can best service them.
All right. Well, hey, you've certainly given us a lot to chew over. What's your startup investment to go do this? Besides your coaching, how much money do I need?
Oh, with radio marketing, a lot of people think that you need tens of thousands of dollars to get started. Like, absolutely not. There's a wholesaling, again, is a concept, and that actually applies to buying media. There, you can literally, like, radio pricing is, there's a retail and a wholesale to buying radio. I'd say most of my students start anywhere between about $1,500 to $2,000 a month, give or take, and even some slightly cheaper depending on their actual market, right? Because you have homeowners are in every single market. There's 230 radio markets in the United States. Absolutely. So you don't have to start in the Phoenixes or Tampas to actually hit homeowners. There are plenty of homeowners that are underserved. But I would roughly say most students start about $1,500 to $2,000 a month, whereas a sales rep, if you call them today at a radio station, they're going to try and convince you that you need about $10,000 to $12,000 to start. Not accurate at all.
Okay, that's fascinating. And once you get somebody interested, how do you get them to do the deal? And then how do you resell this deal?
Absolutely. So with wholesaling, you are, and again, we're on this side of wholesaling, you are playing the middleman and really, kind of just assigning the contract that you're getting. So there's twofold in terms of marketing. You need to do marketing to actually get the seller to come to you, discuss their property. This is why I say being business to solve a problem and understand their market, because you need, especially with, markets being a little tight on inventory, you need to make sure that that seller feels incentivized to make this move and make this move with you. So how can you help them? What's in it for them? Are you going to make this convenient? Is this a simple process? Are they going to, get a fair price actually on their house? And so that is convenient for them. I'm going to get a cash offer in my home. I don't have to do any work for it. They'll take it as is, as long as I'm just able to, tell them about my actual property. That's what you need to pull out from the seller and actually get them to agree to the price. Then the second piece of your marketing is the disposition, right? That is actually moving the property to an actual buyer. So the marketing on that side, you can do a couple of things. Of course, you could use radio to attract and build up your buyer's list, if you will, of real estate investors who are more than happy to come in and buy the actual property or buy the contract from you. And that's, again, where you'll make your money on the middleman, being the middleman there. But you could literally just jump into Facebook groups. There are a ton of real estate investor Facebook groups out there, real estate investors of Texas, real estate investors of Florida, a ton. And then literally just jump in there, throw a post and introduce yourself. Say, hey, this is the market that I'm in. And I'm looking to connect with some actual buyers and build up my buyers list. You're going to get a ton of people that go, hey, absolutely. Here's my email address. Add me to your list. Once you actually have the property, the best case scenario is you're going to build like a flyer, kind of just giving them some information about the property that you have now under contract with the seller. Here's the address. Here's the property information. Here's roughly an estimation on the repairs that it's going to need. But then also here's an estimation on what that person can sell it for. And then once you actually get their email addresses, you're literally just sending them the actual flyer. And then one of those buyers will say, you know what, this is perfect. I've actually been in the market looking for a new 3-bedroom rental property in this area. Here's a price that I'll actually pay for you. That's roughly how that will work out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think you answered a lot of questions here. I'm sure people will have more for you. People want to find out more about you, Grace, and connect with you on the web. Otherwise, how do you do that?
Absolutely. So you can hop over to the wholesalinginc.com/radio to specifically learn about the wholesaling radio program. We have a ton of programs over there as well, depending on where you want to jump in and get started. But me personally, you can always check out my Facebook page as well. So that's Facebook, and that's Grace Mills 2.0. So Grace Mills 2.0 on Facebook.
Great. Excellent. And there'll be a link to that in the show notes of this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. If you've got a question for Grace, you can always shoot us an email, kl@carrielutz.com. Grace, thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again.
Awesome. Again, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.